Just continue to touch him physically and meet his needs. For Wes, Lord, we pray you give the doctors wisdom about how to help him and with his back trouble. And pray for Amelia as she travels today and takes kids to the ranch. We pray you'd give her safety and give Myra a great time there at the ranch today or this week. And be with our kids there in Ohio as they're doing this Bible VBS. We pray that you would bless that time also. And then, Lord, just ask you to bless now as we look at your word. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are people today that tell us that the word of God is outdated, that this book is not for today. I mean, goodness gracious, folks, you realize that this book was written 2,000 years ago. In fact, much of it was written as up to 4,000 years ago. How in the world can it apply to people today in the 21st century? And their conclusion is, you know what we need? We need some psychology and philosophy, and we need to find out what man has to say. Now, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and folks, I'll just be honest with you. These verses, they're a little short, machine gun burst verses that they just hit me right where I live. 3 weeks ago, we started this, and we studied verse 16. Some of you memorized that verse. Okay, have you got it? Let's say it together. Here it is. Rejoice evermore. You guys, they're sharp, aren't they, Todd? I mean, we got some sharp people. Rejoice evermore. Now, look, that hits me right where I live. Last week we looked at pray without ceasing. And boy, do we need that admonition. And today we're going to give you one more. And again, folks, this hits us right where we are. Good morning. Good to see you. Find yourself a seat there. We got all kinds of empty seats. They're free. Good. Look at verse 18. Good morning, Mike. Here's verse 18. You got it? In, what's the next word? Everything. Come on, you got to be serious. Everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Let me ask you a question. Does that apply to you today? Does that hit you right where you live? My natural tendency is not to be thankful. My natural tendency is to gripe and complain and be critical. And I know you're looking real pious at me, but yours is too. Okay? Our natural tendency, we're going to look at that as we move along, is not to be thankful. And here is a command from God. Good morning. And he says, you need to be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. So, number one this morning, the nature of the command. The nature of the command. And we see that thankfulness is commanded. It is not an option. You know, years ago, some of you remember when Ted Turner came out, and we have in Exodus chapter 20, what's in Exodus chapter 20? They're called the Ten Commandments. And he said, you know, I think we need to change that, make them the Ten Suggestions. Well, bless old Ted's heart. God doesn't give you those options. And this is not a suggestion. This is God's command to you. If you are born again this morning, if you're a child of God, God's command to you is be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. That is God's command to us, folks. We need to obey it whether we feel like it or not. You say, well, Gary, I don't feel like giving thanks. It's not an option. God commands it. You say, well, look, man, it's just not that easy to obey. It's really tough. I guess I probably shouldn't use a Nike commercial, but you know what, as believers, we need to just do it, okay? Just do it. We need to obey God. Now, again, folks, this is an area that all of us struggle with. But God's will for your life, you don't have to say, now, Lord, do you want me to be thankful? You don't have to pray about it, folks. It's clear in the Word of God. We don't need to make excuses. We just need to say, okay, God says, be thankful in everything. This is a command of God. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we see the same thing in a different context. Ephesians chapter 5, and this is an interesting passage. Ephesians 5, verse 3. And Paul says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints. neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Now stop for a moment before we read the rest of the verse. Think about all those things. He said, look, these things should not be in the Christian's life. Any kind of sexual sin, any uncleanness, any covetousness or desiring things that are not yours, that should not be yours. He said, don't have it. No filthiness, no foolish talking, nor jesting. But here's the flip side. But instead of doing all those things, do what? Give thanks. Isn't that interesting? You see, when I am thankful for my wife, and I am saying to the Lord, Lord, I thank you for the woman you've given me, this godly woman, this lovely woman that's been so good to me. We celebrated 32 years right in the middle of, or right before Bible school, so we actually haven't celebrated yet. We're going to do it tomorrow. We're going away for 2 days. Hallelujah. It's exciting. It's going to be great. And this is my yearly thing. I'm going to take her to Pigeon Forge to go shopping in the morning. That's love, brother. That's real love. And then we're going to go to Whitestone on the other side of Knox. We're going to have a great time. I'm excited about it. But you know what? I can go through my life and I can say, God, oh, I thank you for my wife. Or I can say, boy, well, I wish my wife was this. Or I wish my wife was that. Or I wish my wife was that. And when I'm not thankful, you know what happens in my life? All the other stuff in this verse. See, when I don't have a proper appreciation for my wife, I will get involved with some kind of sexual sin. I will start looking elsewhere. But if I'm thankful, that's going to keep you from all this other junk. See, he said, look, we need to be thankful. It's commanded. Notice, secondly, that it is commanded and it's all inclusive. In everything, give thanks. I thought I'd do a word study on this word, everything, until I found out it's used 1,075 times in the New Testament. I got through about Matthew, okay? It's translated all, every, whosoever, whole, always, any. I just couldn't find a way out, folks. I'm sorry. I thought I could find one verse where maybe we could have an out and it would say, you know, in most things, give thanks. You know, give thanks in everything unless it's really, really hard. You know, it's just not there, folks. He said you need to give thanks in everything. How many of you have been to an all-inclusive resort? A couple of you have. I never have. Years ago, for our anniversary, my wife and I, My brother-in-law had a condo in Cabo. Big time, you know, serious guy. You know. And we had a bunch of Sky Miles, and so I think it was for our 20th or 25th anniversary. We went, and I carried my laptop all the way there so I could get online, you know, and check all stuff. And I got to the motel room, and it wasn't all-inclusive. Now, it was a beautiful resort, but you had to pay like $12 a day for internet access. I'm thinking, that's not all-inclusive. And, you know, everything you wanted to do was extra. You know, these all-inclusive things, anything you do, it's all paid for. You just go and you pay one price. This word is all-inclusive, folks. Now, I'm belaboring the point for a reason. Because I find it hard to be thankful all the time. In everything. Now, by the way, notice the wording. It does not say, for everything, give thanks. It says, in everything, give thanks. Is there a difference? I think so. If my house were to burn down and I'm running around outside, jumping up and down, saying, hallelujah, oh, this is great. Oh, it's wonderful. My house is burning down. I'm losing everything. Oh, this is so exciting. They would think I was a pyromaniac or maybe just a maniac or something, and they'd take me away, you know. But I think, when a terrible tragedy happens and we can say, Lord, I thank you that no one was killed. I thank you this stuff can be replaced. I thank you, Lord, that you're still on the throne. I thank you, Lord, that you still have a purpose. I thank you, Lord, that you still love me. In everything, we can give thanks. So there is the nature of the command, folks. It is a command. It is all inclusive. Okay? Now, I want you to stop just for a moment and think about this last week. Would you say that this spirit, this activity was going on in your life? Hey, Lynn, unlock that back door. We got some people out there wanting in. We want to let everybody in. Look, now, you know, I'll be honest with you, these lessons come at a hard time for me because it's, you know, we had Bible school last week. And I'll just be honest with you. There were some kids that were here that it was difficult to give thanks for. I mean, just to be honest with you, okay? None of your children, no, it wasn't your children, okay? And there were things that happened last week and you think, what in the world? Let me ask you a question. In the circumstances this last week, how did you do? Were you a thankful person? Now, we try to teach our children, say thank you for the food, say thank you for this, say thank you for that. But then we go through life and we're griping about this and we're griping about that and we're upset about this and we're upset about that. God tells you as a believer, in everything, give thanks. Okay, there's the nature of the command. Secondly, the need for the command. And I don't know that I need to spend a whole lot of time here. But it's interesting that as we think about this command, the thankfulness is not natural. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You know, the norm in the unbeliever's life is not to be thankful. That's what he's saying. That's the norm. But I'm afraid often believers, we act just like unbelievers. And we go through life and we're griping and we're complaining, we're unhappy. Boy, life is terrible. When something good happens to us, we have this entitlement philosophy in our mind. Well, you know, it's about time I deserve that anyway. You know? It's interesting, and you don't need to look in Luke chapter 17. But in Luke chapter 17, we have the story of the 10 lepers. You know the story well. These guys had leprosy, a terrible, debilitating, deforming disease. Dissocialized. They were outcast from society. Over time, their fingers would just get shorter and shorter in their toes, and the terrible, nasty scars, and just a terrible disease. And because of they had to live outside, away from the people. And these guys come to Christ, and he says, look, you guys go to the priest and present yourself that you're clean. And on the way, they had enough faith to go, and as they're going, they're healed. 10 guys, how many came back to say thank you? One. But that's the norm. How many people do you know that are truly thankful people? In every circumstance, they're just praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's still on the throne. It's okay. This is not the norm, folks. I tell you, I need to hear this lesson. I mean, I studied it, and now I need to hear it. It's interesting, in the last times, you think of the last times before Christ returns, society getting worse and worse. And aren't we seeing that today? Well, we are. But listen, as Paul describes the last time as he's writing to Timothy, he says that in the last days, perilous times, grievous, difficult times are going to come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. It's funny, he throws this one there. Disobedient to parents. And what's the next one? Unthankful. This is one of the signs of the times. Thankfulness is not the norm. And then we talk about the need to be thankful. Thankful people glorify God. Why are you here? Well, you say, my wife made me, not here in Sunday school. Why are you in this world? Why did God put you here? To glorify God. Give me a verse. Is there a verse that tells you that? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. What does that mean? It means to give a proper reflection of who God is. You know what? When we are unthankful, we are not fulfilling God's purpose for our life. Because we're not giving a right view of God. See, when I'm complaining about what's bad and all this stuff, what am I saying? Well, I'm saying God doesn't really love me or he wouldn't let that happen to me. I'm saying that God must not be in control, because if God was in control, surely he wouldn't let that happen in my life. I'm saying that God doesn't care about me, that God is not all wise, that God is not gracious and merciful. Look, when we're going around griping and complaining, we are giving a wrong view of our God. And that's serious. That's serious. because our that means we miss our whole purpose in life. God put us here so that people could see Him in our lives, so that our lives would give a correct impression of who God is. And when I'm griping and complaining and unthankful, it's not happening. I'm not giving a right view of God. Now think about the flip side. I mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago, we got home off the trip from Ohio and my wife started up the van and smoke and smell and stuff, and it was the air conditioning belt had burned off, and she said, "Is that bad?" Well, she thought, "We'll just put a new belt on it, you know, and that'll be okay." I wish. What should my response be? Can you believe it? I mean, here I am. I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm in the ministry, you know, and I give my tithe and I give the faith promise. And you think God would take care of my car and help my air conditioner last? I mean, what in the world is going on? Yeah. Yeah. The unfortunate thing is you're looking at him, okay? Now, I haven't touched the air conditioning yet. So. You see, when I can say, it's okay, the Lord knows my needs, He can provide, that's giving a right view of God. When I can say, you know what, it's okay, God knows what He's doing, that gives a right view of God. When I can say, God can provide for this need, that's giving a right view of God. When we can be thankful when the world's falling apart around us and praise the Lord in the midst of the trial, folks, we give a right view of God and we fulfill our very purpose. But when I'm griping and complaining and ungrateful, they're not getting a right view of God. Now, if that's the case, third point, how can we be thankful in everything? Finally, the necessary steps to keep the command. Now, let me just open this up to you. We've talked about some things. What is the root problem here? I've kind of alluded to it in the last point, but when I'm not thankful, what is the root problem? Is the problem the problem? No. What's the problem? What's that? Lack of faith? Self-centeredness? A wrong view of God. You get $5. Give her $5. That was outstanding. A wrong view of God. That is exactly right. That's exactly right. So if that's the problem, then what's the solution? Now, I know this is deep. Get a right view of God, all right? How do you do that? Well, you turn on your TV and you watch some guy on TV preaching, right? And you right? Probably you won't get a right view of God there, more than likely. How do you get a right view of God? This is so simple. What do? You saturate your mind with the Word of God. Where are you going to get a right view of God? From my experience, uh-uh. Now, it can reinforce a right view of God, but it can also ruin a right view of God. Where do you get a right view? You get in the Word of God. And the Word of God will show you and will give you the right view of God. You say, well, I come on Sunday morning. I even come to Sunday school. I mean, talk about putting up with a lot of junk. I mean, I even come to, goodness, that's not enough. You say, well, I even come on Sunday night. Folks, if you're going to have a right view of God that's going to overcome your feelings, you're going to have to be in the Word of God every day. Mark said, lack of faith. Well, what's the problem? If you don't have faith, what's the problem? Well, you just need to work it up, brother. If you just had more faith, if you just really make up your mind, you're going to believe, right? No, where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, Seaman, you talk about this all the time. There's a reason. This is foundational. And the reason we fail is we're not in the Word of God. We don't have a right view of God. Now think about it. When calamity comes in your life and you have a right view of God, think about what your thinking is. Will you help me? I'm driving down the road and smoke begins to pour from the metal parts in the front of the car, and the car dies and this it comes to a squealing halt, and you try to turn it over and nothing happens at all, and you just know that your engine's gone. Now, what can help you to be thankful? I hate that old car anyway. I've been trying to get my wife to buy me a new one a long time. Finally, now she's going to have to buy one. What do you know about God that will help you specifically? What do you know about God that will help you to be thankful? All right. God said, he's promised. Can you give me a verse for that? What's that? My God shall supply all your needs. According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What do you know about God? God can do anything. He can supply the need. Aren't you glad that God never, when that engine blew up, aren't you glad God didn't say, oh, my lands, I didn't see that coming. Wow. What a shock. Okay, so there's the truth. God can take care of it. What else? God loves me. Wait a minute. If God loved me, this wouldn't happen to me. Wait a minute. What about Romans chapter 8? What shall separate us from the love of God? And he goes through that list of all those things, and he concludes nothing can separate us from the love of God. No matter what's going in our life, folks, we have the assurance, if we know and have a right view of God, that God loves me. Even though this happened to me, God loves me. And if he loves me and he let it happen to me, then he must have a reason. And the word of God, and we use this verse a lot, but it's still true, all things do what? Work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, it does not say all things are good. Last night, I was finishing studying in my office about, 8:30, 9 o'clock. And all of a sudden, this smell came wafting into the office. My wife was baking bread. Now, I'll be real honest with you. There are times that she has some wrist issues, and she makes a sourdough bread that's just amazing. I've never tasted sourdough bread as good as my wife. I don't know why. It's a gift she has. It's just amazing. It's a gift that I'm suffering from. And I just, I've helped her before, and you pour the starter in, and you pour all this stuff in, and the flour and whatever else you pour in there. And I'll be honest with you, I've never been tempted to eat that stuff. I mean, it's just nasty looking, really. But I smell that bread. And so I said, you know what? I went to my wife and said, could I eat one of those rolls? I said, I need it for an illustration for my class. She said, are you serious? And it'd been out of the oven just for a few minutes. You know, I was so deep in my study. And so I took a slab. I got some butter, put a slab of butter on that, two or three slabs of butter on that sourdough roll. And I put it in the microwave for about 5 seconds. Oh, my soul. Talk about good. Talk about good. I'm looking for another one at lunchtime. Now, what's the point? When she follows the recipe and she puts all those things together, knowing what the recipe card says and knowing what she's looking for, boy, the result is good. Now, the individual ingredients, I wouldn't eat any of them by themselves. And folks, as believers, we can be thankful because we can say, you know what? God does love me, and God has a plan for my life, and the plan is good. He's working in my life to produce something, really to produce his likeness. And because of that, I can be thankful because I have a right view of who God is. God is sovereign. God loves me. God is in control. But I'll be honest with you, that's not enough. And I experienced it this week. Tuesday, I had this great idea. I typically write a note to all the workers each day, and I thought, the Lord had just really challenged my heart to not let people rob me of my joy. You know people like that, they're joy robbers. You get around them and, oh, this is going to happen. It's terrible. Oh, it's bad. You know, they're always trying to rob you of your joy. And I said, you know, I'm just not going to do it. You know, rejoice evermore. This is good stuff. So I challenged the workers, rejoice evermore. So, the day went pretty well. We began Tuesday night. And Monday we'd had some families come. The parents stayed and watched things. And they had their own church and things. But they brought their kids and they didn't show up Tuesday night. And that was kind of discouraging. I thought, well, they've decided that, you know, this program's not for them. It can't help their kids. But that was okay and went on. And, you know, the night went pretty smoothly and things. You know, I was doing fine until I met Tristan. Scott knows Tristan. The kid's about this tall. He was in 11, 12-year-old boys, but I think he's probably about 8 or 9. And right at the end of the night, I walked into rally time and Tristan was... I was going to say sitting there, but I don't think that ever occurred. And I said, Tristan, sit down. No. This kid was all over the place. And then the kid's a con man. He will, Rick, you will see him someday in your federal prison. I guarantee if you'll stay in there long enough. Unless God changes this boy's life. I mean, he is a con man. And I tell you, I couldn't give him. Oh, I got to the bathroom. Got to go to the bathroom. Oh, yeah, yeah. He'd just been in the bathroom. I knew it. He didn't know I knew that. And I'll just be honest with you. I lost my joy. I really did. I didn't lose my temper, but I lost my joy. You see, folks, you've got to have something else. Now, what is the other thing we need? Not only do you need to have a right view of God, but you need to be controlled or empowered by the Spirit of God. You see, rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, giving thanks, all of these things, you can't do them in the flesh. You know, I decided in my flesh, I was gonna rejoice. I wasn't gonna let anybody rob my joy, but that was all flesh. Flesh isn't gonna cut it, folks. You see, the Word of God says, and we studied this last week, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness world, all of those things. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not human. Now, I want you to turn in conclusion here to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5:18, this is a verse you know. We hear it a lot. And be not drunk with wine, or in excess, but be what? Filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, he's going to go through the rest of the chapter in chapter 6 and give us the results of that. But look in verse 19. If you are Spirit-filled, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you'll have a song in your heart. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice verse 20. Giving thanks. Now remember, this is the person who's controlled by the Spirit of God. Giving thanks. What's the next word? Always for, what's the next word? All things in God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, what a great truth. To be, folks, if you're going to be thankful at all times, you're going to have a right view of God. Yes, that's the head part, but you've also got to have the Spirit empowering you to do it, working from the inside out, changing you, empowering you to do what you ought to do. He said, if you are Spirit-filled, look, if you are a Spirit-filled believer, you will be a thankful believer. All right, class, if you are not a thankful believer, it means you are not a Spirit-filled believer. Is that fair? So Paul's admonition for us today is, in everything, give thanks. Boy, that's so important. Because, folks, God has called us to glorify Him and give a right view of God. And when we're not thankful, we don't do that. And I want to challenge you this week with all three of these admonitions. These are all the will of God for your life. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Be in the spirit of prayer at all time, fellowshipping with the Lord. And then in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. You don't have to pray about what the will of God is in these matters. Here it is. Here it is. Simple, clear, to the point. This is God's will for your life. And by the way, if your marriage is struggling, here's a great way to solve the problem. Instead of griping and complaining about your mate all the time, give thanks. There's got to be one good thing you can give thanks for. You know, I'm thankful he doesn't weigh 560 pounds. I mean, you know, I'm thankful she doesn't look like her mother. No, I'm just kidding there. She will look like her mother pretty soon. When I was dating my wife, my dad said, now when you're dating, look at the mother because that's what your wife's going to look like in 50 years. Pretty true, pretty true. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. This week, there are going to be some things in your life that aren't going to go the way you think they should. A spirit-controlled believer will be able to say, praise the Lord. God's still on the throne. It's going to be okay. In everything, give thanks. Okay? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how practical it is. And Lord, every one of us struggles with a bitter, complaining spirit. And we need your help. We need your Spirit's help that we would be thankful people. Oh God, help us to be able to have a right view of God, to be controlled by the Spirit of God, that we would be people that are thankful in all things. In all things we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.